My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I'm sure none of you this evening for your dinner will be sitting down to surf and turf. We live on pizzas and hamburgers, hot dogs. But this rich man lived on the fat of the land. He liked his beef and lamb and good wine. He was very wealthy, and he loved designer clothes, so he dressed well. And then the other man, Lazarus, is Jesus thinking here of another Lazarus who rose from the dead, who was raised by Jesus from the dead? Maybe. But even if someone should rise from the dead, Abraham tells him, they will not be persuaded. But Lazarus died a natural death. Jesus rose from the dead and is with the Father, consubstantial with the Father, in heaven forever, in the kingdom. And how many people today turn away from Jesus and run after gods that can never save. The rich man is not condemned because he was rich. There have been many rich men and women who were great saints and who loved their neighbor. It is this love of neighbor that distinguishes us from others. But it comes from our deep love for Christ, for Jesus, in his passion, in his death, and in his glorification. And we have the church, we have the prophets, we have the saints. Maybe sometimes we cannot always listen to them, like the terrible crisis we're going through in the church at the moment, a crisis of morality, which is a crisis that is evident in the world. But we can't lose touch with the reality of the church. For the Lord, who is risen in power, said, the church will last until the end of time, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. St. Matthew tells us about Jesus, or he places Jesus on a mountain, where Jesus proclaims the foundation of those qualities that are in our hearts, that come to those, the virtues that come to those who truly love him. We call them the Beatitudes. And the first Beatitude is the one on which all the others depend. It's the one on which your life and my life depends. It says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We cannot reach out in love to our neighbor if love for the kingdom of God is not first in our hearts. We have been given much, and much is expected in return. We are the ones who are chosen by the Lord to be his evangelists in this 21st century. And the Lord tells us that in the end we will be judged by what we have done. He will send out his angels to separate the good from the wicked. And he will say to the good, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom. For I was hungry, and you fed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was away from home and you took me in. I was incarcerated and you came to visit me. I was lonely and alone in a nursing home, and you came to visit me. And they will say, Lord, when did we do these things? Well, he will reply, as often as you did it for the least of my brethren, you did it for me. And likewise, the wicked will have the same question. What did we not do? And he will give them the same response. As long as you did not do it to one of these, you did not do it for me. And they will go into eternal damnation, and the just into eternal life. So we will be judged on how well we have loved. Nothing remains, St. Paul says, but love. And in love, we find the fullness of revelation, of the incarnation, of the passion, death, and resurrection of Jesus. In love, we find salvation. In love, we are called to live our daily lives, to share what we have. We have been richly blessed by God. I suppose none of you have ever experienced famine. Maybe sometimes we have experienced hunger. It's no harm to experience hunger. I know I have. Growing up in Ireland after the Second World War, not everything was available. Sometimes the food was scarce, but we didn't die. Maybe you regret that I didn't, but I didn't anyway. So we have so much to be thankful for. And God is calling us then to share whatever we have with those who are in need. And God knows, if you look around our neighborhood, you see those in need. I was watching a program last night from Fairfax County about young men and women who are involved in drugs. It was so sad. My goodness, it is so sad to see, you know, they're getting involved in these drugs and ending up sometimes in death. It is very, very, heart-wrenching. It hurts deeply to see young people destroying their lives, with money and drugs and sexuality. And that's where you and I come in. The example of our lives must be there to show that there is more to life than just these things that destroy. That God in His love is always there, and God in His infinite compassion is merciful to all of us in the cross of Jesus Christ. But how long can God be patient? Look through the Old Testament and see how good God was to His people, and how they turned away from Him over and over and over again. And He sent chastisements to bring them back, and they came back and they behaved okay for a while, and then they fell away again. But He never gave up. He's loyal and faithful. So loyal and faithful, He sent His only begotten Son to die for us on the cross. There are many ways in which we are called to save the world in this 21st century. You're called to be loyal to the church. We have the church, and we have her prophets, and we have her saints. We've got great men and women who show us what it is, what it means to be a follower of Christ in this difficult world. And each and every one of us must love life. God gives life, and the only one who can give life is the only one who can take it away. God is Lord of life. God is Lord of death. And we have no right, and no woman has a right, to say that she has been given this right to decide who should live and who should die. That is the greatest poverty in the world today. To think that every year we abort over 1 million babies in this country, and throughout the world 50 million every year, and that's conservative. How long can the Lord of life be patient with the world? And this is where you come in. You love your families, you love your children, you are fathers, mothers and grandmothers, aunts and uncles, cousins, and you love your family. Stay together with your family and continue to love them and show the world that life is precious. Life is given, life is a gift, and we should nourish the gift and cherish the gift. Can you imagine what it must be like? I don't know, I can't. Maybe some of you can, but it's worth saying anyway. You have a baby who is aborted or left there to die, and that baby is dumped into eternity without any notion of who she is or who he is, without even their sinfulness to offer to God, to grow in love for God, because we grow through our weakness and through our sins by submitting them to God every day. What must it be like? Surely God must be merciful to these holy innocents. But their death will have to be repaired in some way. Reparation must be made. But why God allows it is the mystery of salvation. There's a mystery of sin too. So we are called then to be like Jesus Christ himself. The rich man was condemned because he wouldn't do anything. Lazarus, he was brought into heaven, not because he did great things, but because he accepted his fate and offered it to God. And that's what all of us have to do. But it's truly not enough, because we don't live by faith alone. You know that there are non-Christian sects that tell us that faith alone is enough for salvation. But it's not. Faith without good works is barren. It's no good. And that's what Jesus says when he calls the just and condemns the unjust. He calls them because of what they have done. And that's what the saints of God teach us as well. You can't pick any saint who lived in the world who did not do something out of love for their neighbor. Not one single one. Except there is a special vocation. There are special vocations for men and women to withdraw from the world and to pray for the world. Like I lived with the Cistercians for 2 years, and there were, 140 men in this huge monastery. And their job was to work and pray, which goes back to St. Benedict in the 5th century. And so these things continue. So we all have our place, a part to play. Your part is in the world, and in the world you must find salvation, but you must also bring someone with you when you find salvation. No good going to heaven alone, because you go to hell alone, but you don't never go to heaven alone. Take someone with you. And that's what the Lord wants all of us to do, to pray, to do penance, and to give alms. St. John Chrysostom says, they are the three great qualities of a soul that is close to God. But he says, the greatest of them is almsgiving, loving your neighbor in Christ. And that's how you begin to save them. You might bring a can of beans for the poor, or something else, or some cereal, and put it in the back of the church. That's a wonderful way of showing your love for the poor. But maybe we should think further and do something to uphold life and to support organizations that that try to change the laws of our country and of our states. That's what God, I think, is calling all of us to in this difficult and hurting time. And He can only do it when our hearts are open and when we recognize that we are blessed in spirit and that we truly understand the kingdom of God.